This morning, I would ask you to stand with me as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I will not be able to project that on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 from the New King James Version. These words are recorded. In the same manner, he also, that is Jesus, took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is the word of God.
Amen.
Would you please be seated? This morning, I just want to say, I want to share some thoughts that were given to me by the Holy Spirit around the theme, the topic, we are here to remember. We are here to remember. The observance of the Lord's Supper by the people of God is designed to help us to remember the promise and the purpose of God. And the reason God gave us this tangible way of remembering is because we human beings have a tendency to forget. And unless we come together around the table, gathered together, assembled at the church periodically during the year, we stand in danger of forgetting what the table is about and what it symbolizes. What we discover as individuals, and I may not be speaking for everybody, but what it has been my experience is that the older we get, our memory doesn't serve us as efficiently and as effectively as it did in our younger days. Have I got a witness in here? That don't happen to you, Deacon Moore. Some of us have bad memories. Some of us have short memories. And some of us have selected memories. I'm not going to bother your marriage. But it is in those institutions when we often find this phenomenon of selected memory. There are all kinds of memory programs and exercises, brain games and supplements to help us with our memory. And then there are all kinds of life distractions, all kinds of duties, the everyday life that keep us prayerful in the course of our regular routines, but does not allow us to view the Lord's table. And so it is at the time of the Lord's table that we get together, we refocus on the Lord's purpose and promise. And that's why we make an extraordinary effort to get to the church on the first Sunday, that we might observe the Lord's Supper. God mandated his people to practice the Lord's Supper in order to remember. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." As we read through the gospel narratives and the First Corinthians, the letter to the First Corinthians, we notice that each writer records activities that took place in the upper room, but they all record different activities. But the one thing that they all agree on was that after supper, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and invited his disciples to eat it, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he invited his disciples to drink from the cup, which symbolized the new covenant in his blood that was poured out for us. And our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, the Apostle Paul adds that whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim, you announce, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes again. And so this morning we are all blessed for the ninth time in 2019 to sit together at the Lord's table as we prepare to partake of the elements of the Lord's table. Yeah, go ahead and give God some praise. And so as we come to the table this morning, the Lord has prepared my heart to encourage us to remember three things. To remember God is our provider, to remember the purpose for the table, and to remember the promise that was given at the table. Now I'm going to give you three points, major points, and each point, for those of you who are taking notes, will have three points. The first, we remember the provider. Whenever we gather at a dinner table in our home, most of us, before we begin to partake of what is on the table, we give thanks to the provider. Amen. We give thanks to the provider. The physical table itself is evidence of the goodness of the provider, who is God. In your mind somewhere, you should be saying, this morning, if it had not been for the Lord, who provides resources of physical strength, mental capacity, emotional stability, and who gave us transportation to church this morning, we wouldn't be here right now. And so as we come to the table, we want to give thanks to the provider. You may remember the narrative where Jesus is preparing to observe this last Passover in this lifetime. He sent his disciples in order to prepare a place where they could observe this celebratory meal. And the disciples went, and they discovered that even before they arrived, that God had provided for their needs. When we come to the dinner table, we thank God for, we thank and remember that God knows our needs before we ask, and we thank him for our daily bread, for daily provisions. But there's another kind of bread for the soul that only God the Father can provide. And when we come to the Lord's table, we remember that bread. Jesus himself is the bread of life. In the gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus helps us to understand who the provider for this heavenly bread is. He says, my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. And then in John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. When we come to the Lord's table, we are to remember the provider and what is needed for our spiritual life and vitality only Jesus can give. And so what we need most, only God can give. Amen. We come to the table to remember that God is the provider. Here's some scripture for you. Remember that God so loved that he provided his son. Remember when your soul was in need of salvation, God gave. That when you groped in darkness and needed light, it was God who gave. When your life was in turmoil and needed direction, when nobody else could, it was God who gave. That when I was in a pit with no one to help me, with no one to lift me, no one whose hand was strong enough to rescue me, and when we needed it most, how many of you have a witness today that it was God? It was God who provided. He provides for us at the table, and then he provides for us away from the table. Amen. So he provides at the table. We remember that he's God, but when we leave, he's still God. He provides away from the table. He gives us daily hope and is our help. He gives us courage and he gives us confidence. He gives us joy and justification. Every day God provides for us direction and determination and destiny. The songwriter said, all I've needed, thy hand has provided. At his table, we bow to say thank you because he's the great provider. Come on, give God praise right here. Secondly, we are reminded as we assemble at the Lord's table of his purpose. Jesus, our Lord. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad about that. He came to reconcile man to God. He came from heaven to reconnect heaven to earth. And that's why in his prayer he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came not to take you back to heaven right away. He came to bring heaven to earth, to reconnect heaven and earth. He came. So at the table, we need to remember his personal witness. And here it is. He came down from the heavenly realms to the lowland of sorrows. He touched down in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. He lived in a working class family in a poor community. He understood what it meant to earn a day's pay and what a loaf of bread costs. He appeared among the overtaxed, the underemployed, the struggling masses of his community. He came to the common people and he made his appearance. The heavenly angels who were dispatched by God the Father to give out personal invitations to the incarnation weren't sent to celebrities. They were not sent to the halls of academia just to invite the intellectuals. They were not sent first to the people who occupy high places of political power and prestige. They were not sent first to the wealthy. They were sent to common people. This morning I told the congregation that I opened my Facebook on yesterday, and there was a clip of 50 Cent. Y'all know 50? Clip of 50 Cent. And he was opening a video invitation from Tyler Perry for the ribbon cutting of the Tyler Perry Studios. Did y'all see that? The ribbon cutting of the Tyler Perry. And I watched that and I was like, I didn't get one. I didn't get an invitation to the ribbon cutting of Tyler Perry Studios. And I probably wouldn't have anything to wear if I did get an invitation. But I'm not tripping over that. Because I have an invitation to the coronation of the King of Kings. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I'm glad that God came to the common people. He came and sent an invitation to lowly shepherds who were watching their flock by not common people. And he wasn't born in a palace or a mansion to be birthed by an heiress. He chose a young, poor virgin of color who saw herself as one of low esteem. He came to common people. That was his witness. He came to those of us who John Legend calls ordinary people. Amen. And that's for the younger generation. My generation, Sly Stone called us everyday people. That's his witness. He came to common people. But then we remember his work, symbolized in the table, in the elements of the table, bread and wine. He did the work of salvation in his body. Salvation cost something. It cost God the Father something. It cost Jesus something. It cost Jesus his life. He paid. It required suffering and pain. His body was broken. Ground body broken. His body was bruised, was beaten, berated, abused, despised. One of our theologians said that his crucifixion was a lynching. Yeah. He was rejected, ridiculed, objectified, and crucified on a cross for our salvation. His body was broken. It cost his life. And when we come to the table, we remember the word of Jesus saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It is his work. He says, "Take it and eat it. Consume it. Eat it. Take it in. Digest that. This is my body, which is broken for you." When you come to the table, you realize that in the cup, it symbolized his life. He poured out his life. He poured out his blood on the earth. He says, "Remember that I am your propitiation for sin. I am the only acceptable substitutionary sacrifice. I am the true Passover lamb." At the table, we remember his work. We remember his work. We remember his witness. And we remember his worth. His worth. He is God in flesh. God the Son and the Son of God. He was in the beginning with God and was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is worthy. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's worthy. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's worthy. He is the light of the world, the true vine. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is living water. He is worthy, y'all. He's Matthew's Messiah. He's Mark's miracle worker. He's Luke's Son of Man, John's Son of God. He's Acts the ascended Lord. And Roman, he's the righteousness of God. And 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's the power and love of God. And Galatians, he's the one who set us free. In Ephesians, he's the unity of the church. In Philippians, he's the joy of life. In Colossians, he's the one who holds all things together. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's the soon coming king. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the great high priest. In James, he's the great physician. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's everlasting love. In Jude, he is the great savior. In Revelation, he's King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is worthy of worship, worthy of honor, worthy of glory, and worthy of all praise. And if people don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Remember, he is our provider. Remember the purpose for the table. And finally, remember his promise. And the upper room discourse is found in the Gospel according to John, where we get conversation that we find in no other gospel narrative. Jesus promised the disciples at that table before offering the Lord's Supper that he would be present with them. In the upper room, Jesus promised that he would leave, but he would not leave them alone. I will leave, but I will not leave you comfortless. He promised that he would send the Comforter. He promised that the one to come would be with us and in us. That he would show us the things of God, and that he would teach you and I the deep things of God. He promised that the one to come would open your spiritual eyes, that you may be able to see and understand the mysteries of God. And I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for his presence today. It is his presence who holds us together when things fall apart. It is his presence that shelters us in the time of storm. It is his presence that works in us. That's why the poet, the songwriter, wrote that it is unexplainable. He just calls it something within. He says, "Something within me holds the reins. Something within me banishes pain. Something within me I cannot explain. All that I know is that there's something within. Well, the writer of that song may not know what it is, but I know what that something is, and you know what that something is. You know that it is not a something, but that it is a someone who holds you together when it's all falling apart. Somebody in here this morning, at one time in your life, your heart was broken to pieces, but you've been put back together because of the one who resides within. There was somebody in here who was emotionally distraught, and you never thought you'd be put back together again. But because of the one that lives in you, you are whole today. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for his presence. Come on, give God thanks for his presence. Did he promise his presence? He also promised to give you power.
Yes.
Jesus would tell his disciples after his resurrection,
yes,
to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. The Father promises to send power,
yes,
in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon,
yes,
you. Jesus is saying to them, you got to wait for him. Don't try to do anything on your own. Don't try to exercise your own strength. You're going to need more than what you have. And all that you need, the Father will send. But you have to wait on him. You're going to need some power from on high. After he comes upon you and resides in you, you shall receive power, Jesus says, to witness of me in the world. And you shall receive power for living. God the Father has promised to give you power at the table. Remember that it is the power of God that has brought you this far. That the power of God sustains you. That he gives you power to live and to love. He gives you power to work and to witness. That he gives you power to excel and engage. Power to fulfill your purpose in life. Power to persevere through persecution. He gives you power to triumph over trouble and power to defeat depression in your life. He gives you power to succeed over your struggles, power to practice patience, and power to keep on keeping on. Power to hold on to God's unchanging hand. He gives you power. Thank God for his power. Because on those mornings that you don't feel like getting out of bed, when things are going so wrong that you feel like throwing in the towel, it is the power of God that energizes you and picks you up and starts you on your way. When you get discouraged in this life and you feel like throwing in the towel of surrender, it is the power of God in your life that encourages your heart. Makes you feel like you can just keep on keeping on. Have I got a witness in here? Does anybody in here know the power of God? Then why don't you stand on your feet? If you know the power of God, why don't you just wave your hand? If you know the power of God, he gives you power. 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 I'm almost finished. I gotta pace myself. Not only does, when we come to the table, not only are we to remember his promise of his presence and promise of his power, but he promised the parousia. Now, that's a Sunday word. And if you notice, I'm trying to alliterate. So there's presence and power. I need a word that starts with a P. The parousia is another word for the second coming. Let me hear you say it, parousia.
Parousia.
Or parousia. However you want to.
Glory. Hallelujah.
He promised. The text says that we should observe the Lord's Supper till he comes, which means he's coming again.
Yes.
The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will share in the Lord's Supper as often as you drink it till he comes again. It's a promise. God keeps his promises. And as surely as he made his first appearance in a manger in Bethlehem, he will come again. Here's how the writer of 1 Thessalonians puts it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 24, that at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe he's coming again. Amen. I don't know about disappearing from the face of the earth. I can't tell you about that. But I believe he's coming again. Amen.
Amen.
As surely as he came the first time, he will come again. The text says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you affirm, you agree that the Lord died and that he is coming again.
Amen.
This little story and I'm finished. There was a woman who was preparing for her funeral. She was getting up in age and she called her pastor to come and visit her at her home so that she could make the final arrangements. Pastor showed up and the woman had the song and she had when she wanted to, which minister to preside and which scripture she wanted read and all of that. And they agreed, and Pastor got ready to leave, and she said, one other thing, Pastor, I want you to put a fork in my hand when I'm in the casket. And he said, a fork? Okay, but would you explain that to me? She said, I go to a lot of dinners at the church, banquets at the church in the fellowship hall, and she said, inevitably, after the meal is served, one of the sisters will whisper in my ear, keep your fork. And she discovered that when somebody whispered in her ear, keep her fork, that meant that something better was coming. There was going to be some red velvet cake or some sweet potato pie or some deep dish apple pie. So to keep the fork was an indication that there was something better coming. So she said, Pastor, when they ask you while I'm laying in the casket, why did I have a fork in my hand? She said, just remind them that I am confident that something better than this is coming. If in this life only, if for this life only we have hope, if all our worship and all our prayer and all our faith die when we die, we are among the most pitiful people on the planet. But I am convinced that my prayers mean something. My worship means something. My praise means something. And when I stick my sword in the sand of time and cross old Jordan's chilly stream, when my feet strike Zion, there's gonna be another place, a better place that God has prepared for those who have faith in this life. Come on, give God some praise.